This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are on the anniversary of the Knox Mine disaster, the HOPE program on campus, and a look into the campus's intramural basketball program. We'll also hear the latest business news on the business beat and get a look at the King Swimmer on the Sports Spotlight. The Knox Mine disaster is a piece of local history that is often forgotten in modern times. News director Katie Pugh interviewed Dr. Paul Zabek to get a look into this tragedy.
The Knox Mine disaster of January 22, 1959, was a tragedy that led to the loss of 12 mine workers in Jenkins Township near Pittston. The Knox Coal Company instructed the miners to keep digging dangerously close to the Susquehanna River, which caused the mine to fill with millions of gallons of water. King's professor of history, Dr. Paul Zabek, explains how this tragedy occurred.
The problem that occurred at the Knox Mine disaster was that the company, the Knox Coal Company, was in violation of the rules about how close to the water you could dig. They were underneath the Susquehanna River. You were supposed to stay 50 feet away. They tried to push it 35, but apparently when the incident occurred, they were 5 feet from the water itself. And by getting close to it, the rocks broke and moved, and the water just came rushing in into the coal mine. So essentially, you have a honeycomb of coal mines underneath the Wyoming Valley, that all of that water just pours into those mines. The miners that were there, apparently, one of the first warnings they had with the rats started running very quickly, and they knew that there was a problem. They attempt to get out. 69 of them are able to get out, but 12 of them are trapped there, and they have never recovered the bodies of those 12 people.
The Knox Mine disaster is often considered to be the death of the coal industry in northeastern Pennsylvania. Dr. Zabek offers his insight into this claim.
I'd say it hastened the death of the coal industry. And I shouldn't say the death of, because there are areas in the southern anthracite fields near Hazleton and Shamokin and Pottsville where there's still coal mining there, but much diminished from what it was. Coal mining was already on the downside at this time. It peaked in 1919, so we're talking here another 40 years. There was a decline, and largely that was because of new types of home heating fuel that were either cheaper or more efficient: oil, electricity, natural gas, and coal was becoming less used as far as a home heating fuel. And by the 50s, that was it for anthracite. So the numbers of people that were employed in the mines, that was already down to a low. But certainly, this made it impossible to revive it.
The disaster also had lasting economic and environmental damages to the area, as Dr. Zabek explains.
They attempted to pump the water out of the mines, but that was just a task that was too much. And interestingly enough, ended up polluting the river more, because they're pumping back all that mine acid into the river. In the years coming up to World War II, and then during the war, and then in the economic boom after the war, we had large numbers of young men and women that were leaving the Wyoming Valley for places like the Philadelphia metropolitan area, North Jersey, Connecticut, the D.C., Baltimore area, and already getting government type of jobs or factory jobs in those areas. Certainly, it increased the out-migration. And also, we get into a period where there is just this stagnation, essentially, as far as economics are concerned. We replaced some of the coal mining jobs, but a lot of those were factory jobs that ended up in a few years going overseas, like the garment industry and the textile mills. So we enter into a period from that the 1950s, right through the Knox Mine disaster, really until, I would say, the 1980s, that we're in this economic stagnation. And it's just recently that we're starting to revive ourselves a bit.
With its lasting damages to northeastern Pennsylvania, the repercussions for the Knox Coal Company and the industry were few.
There were 7 people that went up for trial on it. 3 were convicted, but it was under lesser charges. And yes, it was going to be more stringently watched as far as the rules and regulations of where you could dig for the coal, particularly when it was near a river, or the idea of mining pillars. You had pillars of coal in these mines that essentially held things things up. You couldn't rob those pillars, you know, they regulations like that. So there were some regulations. The thing is that there were a lot of regulations in place before this. The problem was that the Knox Coal Company and other coal companies were not paying attention to them. There was the rule to prevent this. It wasn't paid attention to.
Dr. Zabek also stressed the importance of commemorating and learning from history such as this.
One of the things that I think is really great is trying to commemorate this. There's a great group of people who are involved in that in the area, and I think it's been wonderful that we do remember what happened on that day, and so that these things do not happen again. And at the same time, I think we need to look ahead, too. It's great. We need to honor the memory of the mining, but it's in the past. So we must move ahead for other ideas, too.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Katie Pugh.
The peer educators of the HOPE program held an event on emotional awareness and sensitivity today in the Campus Center. Intern Michael Palmer interviewed the HOPE team on what their message is about.
Remember, never apologize for being sensitive or emotional. Let this be a sign that you have a big heart and aren't afraid to let others see it. Bridget Nicole. Today in the Student Campus Center, the HOPE Peer Educators of King's College were helping our peers excel and giving them hope in stressful environments. I talked to Danielle Thomas, a trainee of the HOPE Peer Educators, and here's what she had to tell me about relieving stress.
I'm a trainee for the HOPE Peer Educators, which is a group of students who help out the Counseling Center, and we're trained on different topics that go on the campus, such as stress, anxiety, depression, and we're just here as an extra mentor for students if they want to talk to someone but they don't want to go to the counseling center or anything like that. So we're just here today talking about emotional intelligence, which is just our concept is just to get people to recognize that feelings aren't permanent, so you can feel one way a certain day and it could change the next day. So just to get a handle on how to deal with stress and your emotions.
As you walked into the Student Campus Center, you can immediately tell the effort and dedication the HOPE peer educators put into this HOPE movement. There was candy, a decorative poster board, and flyers that taught different breathing techniques and different ways to relieve stress.
Well, we all equally put in work towards any project that we do. Something I did is I made one of the worksheets. Another girl made the poster board. Someone else made some of the cards that we're handing out. Someone else made a worksheet. So we all equally put in effort to make a successful project.
The purpose of the HOPE Peer Educators is to let students know there's always a place to go if you need someone to talk to.
To spread awareness on campus, to help make sure that our students, if they need help dealing with any problems such as anxiety or things like that, they know how to do it. We have some informational flyers to help with breathing exercises, way to prevent stress, and what to do if you have accumulated stress.
The HOPE peer educators understand that accumulative stress can lead to depression. That's why they started this HOPE movement, in order to deflect depression away.
Well, depression would be more so we're trying to prevent that. So this is just to spread awareness of how to recognize certain anxieties or how to prevent it.
Although Danielle is only a trainee for the HOPE Peer Educators, she already seems like a professional. She has many roles on campus to help her fellow students out.
Well, I'm very active on campus. I have other roles on campus, and I thought that this position would help me be able to help my peers a little more, recognizing warning signs and things like that, and know how to help someone if they ever needed it.
Danielle and the rest of her HOPE peer educators understand that most people don't want to be sensitive or emotional around a college campus. However, they're just there for a sense of hope.
Well, not in my life necessarily. I mean, stress and anxiety is a big topic on any college campus and for anybody, especially in colleges where we have a lot of work to do and things like that. And like some people especially don't know how to balance what they have to do or don't know how to deal with stress. So again, it's just an educational event that we're doing to help prevent that.
Remember, never apologize for being sensitive or emotional. Let this be a sign that you have a big heart and aren't afraid to let others see it. Bridget Nicole. Follow the HOPE Peer Educators at @KingsPA_HOPE for more information on helping our peers excel. From WRKC News at 5, I'm Michael Palmer.
There are some sports on campus that you might not hear about. Intramurals. Intramural sports don't compete in a conference, but rather for fun and exercise. Social Media and Promotions Director John Flynn interviewed Intramural Sports Director Ashley Stevens about the intramural basketball program.
King's College offers intramural events throughout the school year, and one of them is an intramural basketball league. King's Director of Intramurals and the women's lacrosse coach, Ashley Stevens, describes what intramural basketball is about.
I would explain it more as it's a fun time. It's a good thing to look forward to each week, and it's just a really good way to get some friends together and be competitive with each other. So for all of our intramurals and things that we do in the fall, whether it's the flag football league, basketball, soccer, anything like that, it's really just to get kids involved and have a really good physical outlet for, you know, daily stresses.
She then talked about who usually gets involved in the league. For example, former high school athletes who come to Kings who do not play sports anymore.
Sometimes what ends up happening is we have a lot of people that were either athletes in high school and then they don't continue their athletic career in college. But then we also do have sometimes like the football players will come and play in the basketball league. We typically don't have or allow our like varsity athletes to participate in a league that they play in. So like if basketball athletes will not compete in the basketball league, and I won't let my lacrosse players play in the basketball league as well, just fear for injury. So it's typically just non-athletes or ex-athletes from high school.
She later explained how and why this idea is very intriguing in the part of many.
So this is my first year with Kings. This is my first year running the basketball leagues. But as far as I know, we've had a basketball league and a soccer league almost every year this year. So it's just like a long time standing tradition. I think it's just a really good way for people to do things, whether they've played it in high school or just learn a new sport.
She then explained the schedule for the spring in regards to when teams will play.
So typically we're looking for games to be played on Sunday. I know we do have one week where it has to be played on a Tuesday, but we will be participating all in the auxiliary gym in Scanlon.
The following days are days games will be played. Sunday, February 19th, Sunday, February 26th, Thursday, March 2nd due to the upcoming spring break, Sunday, March 19th, Sunday, March 26th, and Sunday, April 2nd will be the playoffs. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Social Media and Promotions Director John Flynn.
Coming up next, we'll get a look into the world of economics on the Business Beat and hear about this week's spotlight athlete, Joshua Shoemaker.
62% of medications purchased online are fake, and many contain toxic ingredients like antifreeze, floor wax, and house paint.
You're kidding, right?
They're toxic. It's something that humans should not be eating or drinking.
I want to take medication to stay healthy, not make me a lot sicker.
The good news is you can be sure your online pharmacy is safe if you see .pharmacy in its web address.
So if I see .pharmacy,
it's legit.
Learn more at safe.pharmacy, a public service from NABP.
Because albums are meant to be heard in their entirety, WRKC brings you one every day. An album a day airs weekdays at noon and weekends at 4 p.m. on Radio King's College.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
Hello. This is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat. The U.S. in review. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen opened the door to further U.S. interest rate rises if the economy continues on track. She told U.S. senators that waiting too long to act would be unwise. The comments saw the dollar move higher, with analysts suggesting Yellen had been more hawkish than expected. CPI inflation data released this week shows that there was a 0.36% increase. Yellen also warned that the economic outlook was uncertain, although she repeatedly refused to be drawn on what effect President Trump's proposed policies would have on the economy. Yellen maintained bank lending had grown despite the Dodd-Frank regulations designed to avoid a new financial crisis, prompting Senator Elizabeth Warren to say Trump and his advisors were wrong to think of rolling them back. But not everyone in the meeting agreed that banks were lending as freely as was claimed. On immigration, Yellen said that slowing the pace of immigration would slow economic growth. Overall economic outlook for the medium term is 1.7% in quarter one of 2017 and 2.2% for 2017 as a whole, and 2.4% in 2018 as a whole. There is considerable uncertainty regarding fiscal policy outcomes, but there is doubt they will meaningfully play out in the economy before next year. The Global Review. Update on NAFTA trading partners. The Mexican peso has depreciated sharply versus the U.S. dollar since Election Day, which has contributed to the sharp rise in Mexican CPI inflation in the past 2 months. The Bank of Mexico hiked its main policy rate by 50 BPS this week in an attempt to keep inflationary expectations in check. In Canada, the stabilization in oil prices has caused the trade account to swing back into a small surplus after 2 years of red ink. Employment growth has been strong in recent months, but the Bank of Canada continues to maintain a cautious approach to policymaking. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Monarch Athlete Senior Spotlight. This week, I had the chance to sit down with senior King's College swim team captain, Joshua Shoemaker. Shoemaker spoke about his favorite accomplishment.
The only medal I've gotten actually was the 400 freestyle relay that we swam. We got third place in that as well. But it was the first time that I've ever, you know, received a medal while I was here at King's. And, you know, it's really just like an example of how great our team is and how great we've done.
Shoemaker spoke about leading the Monarch swim team as their captain.
Being named captain, honestly, it's a little bit overwhelming, honestly, because you're tasked with all this responsibility and, you know, you want to be a great leader. And even if you're not somebody who, you know, likes to speak up or really show people the way to do things, you kind of got to force yourself into that position. And it really just helped like build self-confidence. It helped bring the team together a lot more. In the past years, we actually didn't have captains at all. So me and the other captain, we're the first captains of the guys' swim team.
Because the swim season takes place in both semesters, Shoemaker spoke about how he manages school and swimming during that time.
It's really all just about time management. You got to be able to focus on your schoolwork first and then worry all about your athletics. It's really just like a work-life balance kind of thing that you'll see in like many firms. It's just you got to focus on doing what you need to do first and then worrying about like everything else that can come afterwards. I mean, I've been doing it for so long, it's not really a problem for me, but if somebody were just to pick up into swimming, you know, maybe they're like a freshman and they want to pick up swimming, it's going to be tough. It is really going to be tough, and you got to really manage your time well.
Joshua spoke about his maturity since his freshman year.
Looking back, as a freshman, I came in pretty hot-headed. I came in and I was told like, oh, my times are great. You know, you're going to be one of the best swimmers on the team. And looking back at it, as a senior now, I see that in the freshmen that came in. They came in and they absolutely blew us out of the water with times. Like, they are just incredibly fast swimmers. And I really wish that they are opposite of me. I came in hot-headed. These guys came in mellow. They came in, you know, all right, we're going to swim our times and we're going to do our best. And that's something I really wish I could have done. And I like to think that my leadership as a captain has actually helped them make that decision, as opposed to coming in really hot-headed as well.
Josh hopes to leave a strong legacy behind.
I really wish that these guys would just work hard. Like, I want them to see how much I've grown throughout this program. You know, my times have gotten better. My grades have gotten so much better since my first year. All this other stuff and, like, my focus on academics as opposed to athletics. I really want them to take that away or, like, take that away from me. Like, you know, use that themselves as opposed to just coming in here thinking they can do whatever they want to do. You know, there's a certain balance that you have to do, and I really want to leave that balance for the team.
Shoemaker has some final advice.
Just make sure you're keeping yourself healthy. Sleep is one of the biggest things you need to do for an athlete. You really do need to sleep an optimal amount of time throughout the day. I mean, you can't be sleeping 3 hours and then expecting your best performance ever the next day. You got to have that 8 hours. You got to keep your nutrition going. And it's just all about working hard and maintaining a good, healthy lifestyle. It really is. I mean, I've come so far in the swimming career of mine. I've been swimming for 17 years, and I'm turning 22 in April. Like, it's been such a big part of my life, and it's really bittersweet to see it go. Like, I don't want to stop ever. Like, I'm gonna continue being athletic. Like, there's no doubt about that. But it's really sweet that I don't have to go to those practices anymore because they are tough. So, I mean, it's really nice to be able to finally be done, but at the same time, you got to continue doing everything you can.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight we'll have some light snow with a low of 27. Tomorrow will be cloudy with possible snow and a high of 33. And Friday will be partly cloudy with a high of 42. Connernan's will be closed at 6:30 tonight for a comedian performance by Michael Harrison at 7:30. Proposals for panels in the Women's and Gender Studies Conference are due February 24th. Submit a 150-word abstract for your proposal to the link in your King's Today email. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Have a fantastic Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.